AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Jim Ryan. President Biden is meeting face-to-face with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce has more on the discussions.
This is their first sit-down since Netanyahu resumed office, took back the helm of his country's far-right government last year. Biden so far has been withholding the customary honor of a big White House visit. That is something that is seen by many as a snub and a sign of Biden's displeasure. Look, President Biden is a staunch defender of Israel, but he has been clear he has concerns about Netanyahu's government, his far-right coalition partners, and his move to overhaul the country's judicial system.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is on Capitol Hill answering questions from the House Judiciary Committee about, among other things, the investigation of President Biden's son, Hunter. After an earlier summertime lull, there's been a spike in migrant encounters at border towns in Arizona and Texas. Pima County, Arizona, reports 2,000 migrants arriving every day. This is ABC News. A high school band director in Birmingham, Alabama, was hit with a stun gun by police after a varsity football game.
Police were trying to clear the stadium, but the bands from the two high schools kept playing on. Students say it was part of a regular competition after games. When the band from Minor High School, the visiting team, wouldn't stop playing, police surrounded the director, Johnny Mims, telling him to leave. But he kept refusing, even when they turned off the lights. That's when police went to arrest him. An officer fired his stun gun on the band director at least three times. His students, who were watching it all, were screaming.
That's ABC's Steve Osunsami. New talks today are set between Hollywood studios and striking writers. They have been out on strike since May. And Vanna White will be back on Wheel of Fortune. After months of reportedly tense negotiations, she has signed a new two-year deal. This season will be host Pat Sajak's last before Ryan Seacrest takes over. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. More than two dozen conservation groups sent a joint letter to the United States Forest Service yesterday calling to stop a logging project in Wisconsin. According to a Wisconsin Examiner report, the coalition seeks to stop the Four Mile Vegetation Project, which is moving forward with seven planned timber sales in the 12,000-acre project. The group claims the Trump administration didn't adequately account for the environmental impacts of the project when it was given approval. Eight Wisconsin schools have been named to the 2023 list of National Blue Ribbon Schools, recognizing their academic achievements. Two schools in the northwest region of the state were recognized on the list, Houdini Elementary School in Appleton and New Richmond Paperjack Elementary School in New Richmond. Schools were chosen for the list based on high performance on standardized tests and achievement gap closing. Only 353 schools were awarded a National Blue Ribbon nationwide this year. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Friday. It's the Big Ten opener on the road against Purdue. Our coverage begins at 4 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM Lake Air Amory.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Bread Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Kripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart, because I will let you die.
Kripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, here's your host, Kristen Bry.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Wednesday edition, September 20th of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, at least for the next 3 days, until I leave for maternity leave on the end of Friday.
Yeah.
And so it's happening. It is happening. Jane Matinair, how are you doing this morning?
I am well. It's amazing to me how it just seems like your pregnancy has moved faster. I'm sure it doesn't feel that way for you. But
well,
I can't,
it's funny because you were, I told you before I told my mother, because I wanted to tell my mother in person. So I think outside of Mike, I think you were the next person I told. So you've known the long.
I'm so, that makes me feel so special.
And so you've known the longest. So you've kind of, well, you have not been feeling it. You at least have known about it and dealt with it almost every day, every work day at least, since February.
It just, and again, it just seems like it's gone so quickly. It really does.
It does. This year went by really fast.
Yeah. And then once you started showing, then all of a sudden it was like, poof.
I know.
There she is.
And now I'm...
Now you've got quite the little basketball there.
Oh, yeah. It's a beach ball. It's there. Greg Bach, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I thought I was the second one to know.
I don't.
No, I wasn't. It's fine. I'm doing well. It's a... interesting day today. It's nice out, I guess, but it's fun. I'm feeling good, friends.
Okay.
All right.
So I wanted to start because I feel like the last week or so, as we should, because the show is called As Goes Wisconsin,
yep.
And we pride ourselves on talking about news that is affecting our state and our communities. But every once in a while, we should also widen our scope and talk about the national things that are happening because... you know, we're like 10 days away from a government shutdown, which we have not talked about at all because we've been a little distracted with internal Wisconsin politics. But yeah, the chance of a government shutdown is increasing after House negotiations failed yesterday. And so, Jane, you were catching up on this. Can you catch us up on what actually happened?
This is a report from the Washington Post. So essentially, Republican leadership scrapped a procedural vote on a stopgap funding bill, which would only have kept things going through the end of October. But again, the moderates and then the loony loons in the right can't agree on pretty much anything.
Yeah, and so like the bill that they couldn't agree on, so the stopgap funding bill, was destined to fail in the Senate anyways.
Anyway, yep.
And it's basically these, like, it's the same, that we're kind of back to where we were in the spring with the... with the funding bill.
Right.
And there's these like five hard right Freedom Caucus members and their razor thin majority that has kind of created a house of cards.
Well, and it's a house of McCarthy because he's the one who made this mess. He's the one who gave away everything to become speaker, and now he's beholden to all these people and trying to get everyone together and to agree on it is a mess of his own making.
And so it's interesting because I would love to hear from people listening. How much have you been following the government shutdown? Or is this something that we kind of, that's feels like, well, we've been here before.
It'll be fine.
It feels like, you know, every couple of months there's some big crisis that needs negotiation and bipartisanship. And how much do you pay attention versus how much you just assume that it's going to get figured out? 844-967-2789. Because Greg, remind us what happens during a government shutdown.
Several government-run programs cease to happen. They cease to work. These are just a couple of examples of ones we know of. The Environmental and Food Inspection will shut down completely. National parks will shut down. So if there's a vacation happening and you want to go to Yellowstone, whoop. Now, air travel, though, will continue. TSA will have to work without pay. That will cause lines. It will cause problems with employment, Health and Human Services, Internal Revenues. I'm sure some people will be happy about that. The SNAP program, which is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, will cease. And then also another one, checks will be sent out, but Social Security and Medicare will stop with regard to taking applicants, and those applicants will be turned away. So these are just a small example of what is affected by a government shutdown, which directly affects the listener.
That last one that you pointed out, Greg, for people my age, if you've been looking down the road and you've been working all your life and you've been waiting and waiting, waiting to get on Social Security and finally get the money that you've been paying in all your adult life, they're just going to say, nope, can't take you. Sorry.
Come back when we're open.
Yeah. Can't do it now. Too bad.
And so the last, correct me if I'm wrong, but the last government shutdown was a 35-day shutdown, which was the longest in history.
That was right before Christmas, wasn't it?
So the 35-day shutdown, the longest in U.S. history after surpassing the 21-day shutdown of 1995 and 1996, led to 380,000 federal workers being furloughed, and an additional 420,000 workers were required to work without any known payment dates during this period, forced many to find other paid work or protest against the shutdown.
I think it's a fair assumption, however, members of Congress will continue to get paid, won't they?
Yeah, well, they're
Will they?
They're considered essential.
Are they?
Yeah, that's right. I served that softball up real good for you both right at the park.
I feel like that's a similar thing when we talk about, you know, like the UAW strike right now. Yeah. Of it's like, oh, you CEOs, like, are you essential? Or are the people who are actually making the cars
a little
essential?
More important?
And
yeah.
The other strikes that are happening, like when, like making new movies. It's like, do you need the actors and do you need the writers or do you need another executive to actually make the thing that gets the product that gets sold? Because as I think we've joked about before, it's like, it seems like AI could do your job a lot better than it could do mine.
A nine-year-old could do an executive's job. I want more Marvel. Make it better.
And so what I think will be interesting is ultimately, like, how much will they have to have a bipartisan agreement on this? Because Democrats are pressing McCarthy now to accept an idea that seems, you know, I think inevitable, because you think about what the razor, like we said, the razor thin margins are in the House.
He needs every vote he can get.
But he needs Democrats. Mm-hmm. And so there's a new center left. So it's a center left coalition called New Democrat Coalition. And there's 98 House Democrats that are part of it. And they signed a letter to McCarthy urging him to put the Senate's bipartisan appropriation bills up for the vote in the House rather than trying to pass the House party line bills that they can't, their House is, the Republican caucus is divided on. So in that letter, the bills, the House Appropriations Committee has been able to advance, have passed along strictly partisan lines with no chance of becoming law. This reads the letter. And whether the Senate bills pass or fail, all representative Republicans and Democrats deserve the opportunity to show their constituents that they are working to responsibly keep the government open, which I think, as we were talking about before the show, people don't like. I mean, I guess there's some people maybe out there who are like, stick it to them.
But it's when you say that, you're sticking it to everyone.
You're sticking it to everyone.
Stick it to me.
Like, who likes the government shutting down instead of cooperation? Like, are there really that many people who are in favor? Because you're betting basically that you will get reelected despite the government shutting down because you, will say these five hard right Republicans, refuse to compromise. And yet they will probably get reelected.
Oh.
Maybe not Boebert.
Yeah.
You know that Aspen is in Boebert's district?
Aspen.
Really?
It was like, oh, that's why, you know, because she barely won again. But I didn't realize that specifically Aspen is in her district. I bet those people hate it.
I bet they do too.
Then do something about it, Aspen.
I think we can look forward to some really, really interesting campaign ads when it's Adam Frisch that's running against Bobo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And his PR team should have all kinds of stuff to work with.
Absolutely.
All kinds of.
The following video.
Last time.
The following video we can't show you because it's not appropriate for all viewers.
Did you hear the newest part of that scandal of her Beetlejuice attendance?
No.
That her date owns a gay nightclub?
Oh, yes. And hosts drag shows.
Yes. And drag shows. But she said she's not dating him anymore.
No, she was like,
because she didn't know that.
She didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which, like, was this just a Bumble match that you didn't do your due diligence on before you were like fondling each other in public?
Well,
which,
that's a very good point.
I mean, when you say that, then I mean you're just admitting you are a homophobe then. And so if someone calls you that, I mean you broke up with a dude because he owns a gay bar.
True.
Lauren.
The dude that you allowed to stick his hand down your shirt in a public place, but that was okay.
But truthfully, how many of us really know what our spouses do for a living? Like, could you explain what Bridget does for a living?
Yes, but for comedy's sake, no.
Could you explain what Paul does for
I could.
A living? Okay.
Yep.
I can explain what Mike does for a living.
He throws parties.
I can tell you.
He organizes people's fun.
Yep, he does.
This is like something I always tell people, like with regard, Bridget works in banking, but like she never deals with a teller, she never takes a deposit or withdrawal. She works within the zeros and ones of banking. And you could take whatever she talks about and apply it to any other big business, but she still works in banking. I'm like, do you ever deal with mortgages? No.
But she does deal with numbers.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Zeros and ones could also be engineering. Be computer
exactly.
Science.
Yeah. So my wife is an engineer, essentially.
Yeah. Hey, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we would love to hear from you if you have thoughts on the government shutdown and what the likelihood of bipartisanship could be. How much you've been paying attention to it and how much you just kind of trust that it will work itself out like it typically does.
Trust.
844-967-2789. We also have some new updates on how the White House is interpreting bad polls, bad press, and it seems like they're not that worried about it. Should they be? 844-967-2789. We will be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 56. Highs around 79 tomorrow, mainly sunny. Daytime highs approaching 76 Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered rain showers, 72 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 68.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach on the board. And just a heads up on what's coming up later on today's show. We are at 11 o'clock talking to CJ Safer. So I feel like I'm very excited to get a conservative point of view on all of the things that have been happening in Wisconsin.
There's a couple.
And I always appreciate when CJ is here because, you know, this is a pretty center-left to very left show. And as much as I try to check my own bias, I know where I stand in most things. And so having the opportunity to have a very civil conversation on a different perspective instead of just painting Republicans and conservatives in, you guys have very evil motivations,
right,
and actually getting someone's logical explanation for why people think differently than we do.
Well,
I always appreciate that with CJ.
Absolutely. And again, we've talked before. In having these dialogues, that's the only way that we're ever going to affect any change,
yeah,
for all of us. We all have to be willing to do that.
Well, and I always come back to that because ultimately, even as people who are on the left, people who are Democrats, depending on how you identify politically, even if the tables were turned, which is a long shot, right? Even if we got nonpartisan maps, there's been plenty of discussion on that is in no way meaning that the Democrats would take control of the legislature.
Right.
Like, we are ultimately, we are a 50-50 state. And ultimately, to move things forward, we do need to compromise and find and negotiate instead of, like, exactly what's happening with these five Republicans who are holding the country hostage right now in the federal government. Like, just sticking to your guns and saying any kind of compromise is a bad look, or we're getting rolled, or whatever some of the things you see on Twitter is, you can't give an inch because it's all about winning versus governing. And that comes on both sides. That also comes on the left, which goes back to my question from last week of, like, who needs to be the bigger person?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, I think
we both do.
We both do. Governor Evers does. And even if he's gotten burned, like, it ultimately, I think you got to keep trying, but I'm also not the governor. So what do I know? So CJ is going to be here at 11, and then 11:30. I'm really excited to have this conversation before I leave. But the importance of intergenerational friendships. Do you, no matter what age you are, do you have a friend or multiple friends in your life that are not necessarily your family or your kids, but a friend, like someone you rely on. Maybe you met them through work. Maybe you met them through a different group that is in a very, in a totally different generation than you. Mm-hmm. Someone who is 15 years plus your senior, your younger. And we're going to talk about a little bit the importance of that, specifically because I would say Jane has become one of my very best friends.
Aww.
And we have a pretty big age difference.
We do.
And so we would love to hear from you at 11:30 of your intergenerational friendships and what they've brought to your life. So that's coming up at 11:30. But right now, you had an update for us on what the last shutdown was over, right,
yeah.
Jane?
At the time, then-President Trump conceded, this is when the government shutdown ended, the one that was for 35 days in 2018 to 2019. Trump conceded to mounting pressure to reopen the federal government, agreeing to a temporary funding measure allowing federal employees to return back to work. It did not include the billions and billions of dollars in border wall funding he demanded for the entire month of that shutdown.
Got it.
So they shut it down. Nearly a million federal employees went for 35 days without getting paid. And he got nothing out of it. And that's why this just never works out well. It doesn't. And maybe for the general public, it's in the transom of their brains, because if you don't go to a national park, it doesn't affect you, you know, if you're not directly impacted by it. But I would think those nearly million federal employees will remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how that upended their lives. And speaking of the lives of our service members and all of their promotions being on hold because of one senator.
Yeah.
Who was a football coach.
I know. Tommy.
Tommy Tuberville.
Well, and it was interesting because that was, as we were kicking this around this morning, it's the question of like, should five people be able to hold the government hostage? Should one person be able to hold these appointments hostage? And the answer is obviously no. Like,
right.
Even if you agree with what the stance is, I mean, because for Tommy Tuberville, this has all been about the new term, which is just
I know.
So degrading.
And offensive.
Abortion tourism.
Abortion tourism.
And to bring that into national security and the holding up appointments of our military over that issue, and just it's just one guy.
Yep. And ostensibly he lives in Alabama, although reports are that he actually lives in Florida.
Yeah.
There's a lot of military people in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this seems like a bad long-term plan, Tom.
I know.
I got a couple texts from the 262. Keep in mind that some people, namely some irresponsible MAGA Republicans, just want to watch the world burn. That's why they elected Trump. And that's what makes them think that a government shutdown is just fine.
And
John from the Falls. Good morning, everybody. No rational person that wants democracy to continue and keep enjoying the life that they have wants the government to shut down. However, there comes a point where you have to stand up to the bully. If we give into these clowns now, it will just happen again and again and again. P.S. Sorry to all the clowns out there I may have offended with this remark. They deserve better than that. You can always call us. You can always text us at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream, too, if you're watching the live stream.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when we come back from this next break, we're going to talk a little bit about President Biden and the very cool nature that they seem to be taking as far as they are not worried. Chill out, bedwetters.
Chill.
And then we also have thoughts on a subplot story about Tim Scott.
Oh, I love this story.
And his single status and how that might be a bigger problem than any of his other demographic profiling when it comes to the Republican Party and Republican donors specifically. So stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. President Biden is meeting face-to-face with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce has more on the discussions.
This is their first sit-down since Netanyahu resumed office, took back the helm of his country's far-right government last year. Biden so far has been withholding the customary honor of a big White House visit. That is something that is seen by many as a snub and a sign of Biden's displeasure. Look, President Biden is a staunch defender of Israel, but he has been clear he has concerns about Netanyahu's government, his far-right coalition partners, and his move to overhaul the country's judicial system.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is on Capitol Hill answering questions from the House Judiciary Committee about, among other things, the investigation of President Biden's son, Hunter. After an earlier summertime lull, there's been a spike in migrant encounters at border towns in Arizona and Texas. Pima County, Arizona, reports 2,000 migrants arriving every day. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Democrats are asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to throw out a counter made by Republicans in court filings this week, arguing whether or not newly elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz can legally hear a case regarding the state's electoral maps. Republicans argue Justice Protasiewicz has prejudged the cases due to campaign comments she made. If she doesn't recuse herself, Republicans have threatened to impeach her and could have the votes in the Assembly and Senate to do so. Ahead of the holiday shopping season, Amazon has announced they're looking to fill over 4,000 jobs across the state of Wisconsin. According to a statement made by Amazon this week, they're looking for workers in a variety of roles and are offering up to $28 per hour with sign-on bonuses between $1,000 and $3,000 in certain areas. The company will host hiring events on Friday in certain markets, which can be found on Amazon's website. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Habitual voyeur of what is known as
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We've got Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, super fun hump day Wednesday. And Jane, you are you gonna tell us give us a little update on one of the sports tonight? Oh, you said I thought you said never mind. Okay. Never mind.
Folks, if you could see Jane's face right now, is absolutely hilarious. Just deer in headlights.
Okay. Now, tonight, Kristen Bry, the Brewers and the at Cardinals at 6:45, and you can catch that fabulous game by our leading Brewers, I believe,
yeah,
on WRJN, WRCE, and WISS.
There you go.
Tonight at 6:45 on your Civic Media stations.
Or you can download the Civic. Well, no, actually, the games you have to listen to
on the station.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't still download the Civic Media app. If you have not done that yet, you can find that regardless if you have a Samsung, a Google phone, an iPhone.
I figured out how to do it, people.
I know.
You can do it.
And it sounds nice on there.
It does.
Sounds very nice.
And again, you can listen to everything all over the states, and it's very super easy, and maybe shows you've never heard. You should check out Max Inc. on Saturdays.
Yeah.
If you like local music.
Yeah.
They do an amazing job.
Super fun.
Yeah.
All right. So I saw this morning in Axios, and one headline in the newsletter was Biden's White House to worry Democrats. Or was it bedwetters, chill? But yes, Biden's team tells nervous Democrats, just chill. So last week was not a great week for President Biden. Not only did they indict Hunter, they also, there's the impeachment inquiries that are happening. There's an immigration crisis. There's always his age. There's an economy that, despite a lot of indicators, voters don't love. There's an auto strike that's testing his loyalty to the workers and unions, especially because Trump's showing up at the picket lines. And there's also his polling. There was a new poll last week that shows that Trump is ahead by 1 point, that voters prefer Trump despite everything, 50% to 49%. And so there's a lot that I think. I mean, I was listening to Todd's show yesterday, and he had another, now I'm blanking on his name, but another Lincoln Project former Republican on there. And they were talking like the very, very real reality of Trump getting reelected. Because of our Electoral College, it's not like he'll never win the popular vote.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about, but he doesn't have to.
No, he
doesn't. As we know all too well, is the fact that he needs, I mean, basically, I forgot if they were saying it was 2016 or 2020, where across three states, it basically amounted to 45,000 people. Our state being one of them.
Right.
Right?
Isn't
and
that
so
shocking?
It's not a lot of people in a lot of states that have to like Trump more than Biden. And so it's like, I think there are a lot of people who are worried. And specifically last week, there was a Washington Post, David Ignatius, who was apparently one of Biden's favorite columnists, who wrote, quote, President Biden should not run again for 2024. And that dropped in that bad week of Hunter Biden's indictment, Trump's impeachment inquiry. And yet the White House is like not worried.
Take a chill pill up, dudes.
They're
it's
not
cool.
worried. And specifically, like, they point to the fact that, you know, there are pundits and media who have always discounted Biden, going back to like the 2020 primaries, where people after New Hampshire thought he was dead in the water, and then he came back and won South Carolina, and then it was basically just over. And even last year, think about how many people were wrong going into the November election and the red wave that wasn't. And we are very, very far from any kind of conclusion on abortion in this state or nationally. And so that's certainly still going to be an issue next year, especially because it seems like Ms. Pristol, when the Supreme Court hears that case and potentially takes away the abortion pill from states where it is legal to get an abortion, that could really throw a wrench in those plans. And so between democracy and abortion, the White House isn't worried.
That's really interesting.
But should they be? 844-967-2789. Do you think the White House should show a little bit more concern than apparently they are as far as Biden's electability? Because we love that word. 844-967-2789. What do you think?
Well, I just wonder about the accuracy of polls. It just always makes me go, really? What are you talking to? 22 people? I mean, and we're so far away yet.
Oh, yeah.
We're a year, and I mean, a little over a year away, but that's a long time. And a lot of things can happen before then. And don't forget, I mean, if Hunter Biden is found guilty, then good, send him away. I don't have a problem with that. And I think most Democrats don't have a problem with that.
I don't think there's anyone who's really standing up for Hunter. Like, I don't know any Democrat that's like really defending Hunter Biden and what he has or hasn't done.
Right.
I mean, what they point out is like, he's not running for president.
Exactly. And he was never in elected office.
Yes.
And so, and in the
meantime, or held any position like Jared Kushner did.
For which he was completely unqualified and still got $2 billion from the Saudis. Huh.
Must be
But
nice.
That's fine. That's, that deal was all above board and everybody knew. So that was fine. And we got the former guy who's facing 91 counts. And if he keeps opening his mouth, which he apparently cannot stop
not
talking.
Do.
Yes. Judge Chutkan is going to have to really slap him with a gag order or something. And she could just move up the trial.
Yeah.
Whoosh. And that could change a lot of things. And especially isn't the one in Atlanta the one that will be televised? Because yes. At least one
yeah,
of them is going to be.
The federal one will not. So the one in D.C. will not. But the one in Atlanta
will be.
Which will be a circus.
It will be a circus. But I also think that could be very, very impactful.
Yeah.
It could be. For those who are not hardcore MAGA. Because, he could set an infant on fire on a altar at a church. And hardcore MAGA would say, well, that's what he does.
It's bad when everyone else does it, but when he does it,
it's fine. And so, you know, he's forgiven.
Well, so what do you think the Biden White House should be more concerned, or do you think this is the right approach of just like, we got it under control?
Well, I think
you've underestimated him before.
And we have. And I go back to the MAGAs being disbelieving when he got elected. Because he's hiding in his basement. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have boat parades. And he didn't have everybody wearing T-shirts with his name on it. And so obviously it was rigged.
No one was getting tattoos of his face on. Which is happening. There's one guy, I don't know if he's a rapper, but there's one guy who got a Trump tattoo.
Well, of course he did.
I think there's probably a lot. Probably of any of our presidents. Do you think the most tattoos of Trump of any president is probably Trump?
Oh, certainly.
Because there's the most like cult-like following
Absolutely.
Of him.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's a lot of Obama tattoos?
There might be a few.
I have an Obama tattoo.
You do?
I do.
What is it of his face?
Oh, it's not of his face, but the person you're looking for is Bandman Kevo got a make yeah, he has a Donald Trump tattoo on his leg. Mugshot. It's mugshot.
Oh.
Yeah, because it happened recently. Because they're now making the argument that Trump is trying to angle to gain the black male vote by saying, you've been victimized by the criminal justice system. I've been victimized by the criminal justice system. We are the same.
I'd love to know how that's playing.
I don't know numbers or polls, but I've read some articles anecdotally with like a guy getting a tattoo. And there's some rappers and stuff like that who have been like, we're riding with Trump.
Remember,
I don't know if that's going to make a huge difference in like actual polling numbers
right.
or how people vote versus like one-off folks being like, yeah, this is great. But they're writing about it. They're making content about it.
And remember in 2015, people were like, this is the Apprentice guy. Who's he going to appeal to? He appealed to the exact people that he makes fun of all the time, and they follow him around like he is sent from God. So don't underestimate his ability to work that weirdo magic on people, especially people who are like, I'll get a Trump tattoo on my leg. That sounds like a grand idea.
Well, and I know that Earl has talked about this. Earl Ingram has talked about this on his show. When you talk to Trump supporters and ask them to lay out his accomplishments, they're very general things. There's nothing specific because he didn't really pass any policies except for tax cuts for wealthy in the corporations.
He deregulated a bunch of stuff.
He deregulated a bunch of
stuff.
Like,
yes.
But as he never built the wall, guys, sorry, he really didn't. It's true.
All right. Well, if you have thoughts on whether or not the Biden administration and the campaign team should be a little bit more nervous instead of telling everyone to chill out and they got it under control, 844 967-2789. And because I want to, speaking of, there's still a lot of time. We are now, I think the next Republican primary debate is the 27th.
Is it in Michigan?
I don't know where it is. But the, it's like, I feel like we just had the one in Wisconsin, but that's coming up. And so that has died down some. But one of the storylines that has come out as far as the candidates, the primary candidates, all of whom are still polling basically under 10%, under 10%. I think the last one I saw, it was still barely Ron DeSantis ahead, and then Ramaswamy at like 8 and Haley at 6 or 7 and everyone else below. So Tim Scott, not polling great, but still in the race. And this is more of like a bigger question, because this was a story that came out last week a little bit more. And for people who, Tim Scott, only black senator, evangelical Christian, unmarried at 57, talks about the fact that he lost his virginity sometime between being 30 and 46, which is very long. It's a pretty big range to get to throw out publicly, but it's no one's business.
No,
but
it's not.
He has talked about that he was, for a long time, was trying to save himself for marriage. He said he has a girlfriend.
Does she live in Canada?
Yeah, I know.
And no one's met her yet?
That's just the obvious joke.
He met her at camp.
And it's, you know, it's long distance. And so that is the obvious joke, but because, like, there's not a lot of proof that this girlfriend exists. But he also, which I totally understand, is like, I don't want to, like, bring her into the fold if I'm not going to marry her. And he's like, I think he said in this, he's like, I want to, that's looking like where this could go, but it's still a recent, they've been dating for like a year. He's like, I don't want to throw her in the national limelight unless I'm serious, which I think is a respectable answer.
I agree.
But it's affecting his fundraising.
Because he's single.
Because he's unmarried. Republican donors have been chattering recently about their concerns that Senator Tim Scott is unmarried at age 57. Scott, an evangelical Christian, has implied he lost his virginity sometime between the age of 30 and 46, and more recently said that he has a girlfriend. Now we're hearing that people are skeptical that Scott's purported girlfriend exists, but it's affecting his ability to raise money because there are there's Republican donors who are like, this doesn't add up. And I just, what my question is, one, if he was white and unmarried, would that change anything?
No, because we have Lindsey Graham.
But he's not running for president.
Still, we look at Glenn Grothman, our very own Glenn Grothman. Single, never married.
So, and then who's ever been unmarried that's run for president?
James Buchanan.
Okay, is that it?
I think so, yeah.
So, I just think this is interesting as far as how much does being unmarried actually matter when you're running for president? 844-967-2789. We will keep this conversation going on the other side of the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been making this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon with highs around 81. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 56 tonight. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow. High of 79. Daytime highs approaching 76 Friday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers 72 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Matinere and Greg Bach on the board. And we are talking about Tim Scott. And maybe he was a long shot anyways, and that's why this story hasn't gotten more traction. But I still think it's an interesting identity politics question, because basically there was a Washington Post story that was talking about Scott's romantic pursuits, and they aren't so much a scandal so much as they are a mystery, and the possible liability in the Republican primary, where there's a lot of evangelical voters in Iowa, and he is an evangelical Christian, but they also value marriage and children. And so does his unmarried status create a problem? And apparently to some donors, they say yes. There's also probably very unfair, because he is unmarried and because there's not a lot of evidence of his girlfriend. People have thrown out that maybe he's gay.
Yeah, maybe he's secretly gay.
And I think it's like, it raises question of like, would this happen if he was a Democrat? Like, would that be in the same way, we're so worried about Biden's age or like these different things of like, can they win? Are they electable? Because we turn on the Democratic side in this state, we have talked about, can they win, when we're talking about Mandela Barnes?
Right.
And, certain electability code worded things of race, gender. And so is unmarried one of those things? And is it the same on Democrat versus Republican?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. I believe that this is an excuse. They're going to say that, yes, we're not comfortable because he's unmarried. And who knows what could happen in the White House. Well, first of all, folks, there's no guarantee that just because you're married, there won't be any hanky-panky going on in the White House. Just look back over the last 40 years. So that expectation is ridiculous.
But I don't think they're worried about what's going to happen in the White House. I think they're worried if people will vote for him or not.
Because he's unmarried. But again, the implication being what? That he's a hound dog? That he's going to be hitting on...
He's not a wife man. Same way Pence and Ron DeSantis are like wife guys.
Doesn't hold our family values.
Who talk about their wives and their family. There's like a value on being... I wonder how much it's like exactly what we were talking about yesterday of like, once you have a family, you get it. And like, so like Ron DeSantis and Mike Pence can understand family values better because they have a family. And how would someone who's unmarried without kids ever really understand that?
I still think it's an excuse, and they don't want to vote for him because he's black and they can't say that out loud.
And he said that out loud.
I do. I think it's a convenient, we can't say we don't want to vote for the black guy. So let's say his unmarried status makes me uncomfortable. Let's say that.
But if that is really it, then it basically is the same thing on the Democratic side. And while there are certainly way more, I mean, like we said, he's the only black senator, only black Republican senator, sorry. That electability thing is certainly used a lot in Democratic circles and Democratic races. That is a veiled word for race.
Yeah.
So if that holds true, and it's not really about being unmarried or married, is either side any better?
We would know if Cory Booker ran for president.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, he was unmarried.
He still is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he admitted who his girlfriend was because she was famous at the time. I don't think they're together anymore,
no,
though.
No, they broke up soon after that came out anyways. But if he ran for president, and mounted a serious challenge, would that be a case? I don't know. I don't know.
That, looking back at that, was that issue ever raised when he was running in 2020?
It certainly wasn't the point where I saw articles saying that donors weren't going to donate to him.
I totally forgot about Cory Booker until you just said that.
That's what I'm here for, baby. Weird facts.
That's a good point. And he also, I mean, I like Cory Booker, but he also kind of has an ethos of Tibbs, like his really over the top niceness and genuine, like, oh God, you're kind of a nerd. Like, calm down a little bit.
Him and Tim Scott have done
a lot of edge.
Him and Tim Scott have done a lot of press together, talking as two black men who are senators who have certain values, who disagree on certain things, but they can come together. And it's interesting discussions. Like, Cory Booker can be kind of like outgoingly dorkish.
Oh, totally.
But when you listen to him talk about the job and what he thinks he should be doing, he's amazing. And when you listen to those two talk together, it's almost like all the noise is turned off and you're like, yeah, this is like two people who disagree talking and everything we talk about as far as compromise and working together, this is it. But then they go to work and then.
Yeah. That's an interesting, I've never thought about that parallel before today, but I think it's an actually really strong one of those two together. And they're dorkiness.
I'd listen to that podcast.
But they're genuine dorkiness.
Yeah.
Now that's a title for a podcast.
There you go. Genuine dorkiness.
I like that.
Well, the last thing I wanted to touch on before we take a break for the first hour and come back with CJ Safer at the top of the next hour. Any thoughts on the wardrobe changes that are about to happen in the Senate? Big deal? Not a big deal? Is decorum dead?
Well,
is this all just because of Fetterman not wanting to wear a suit?
Pretty much. I think so. That's all I can imagine. Thank God it's not in the House, because I can only imagine what Bobo would wear.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So, and I don't see Feinstein or...
Well, Feinstein's not dressing herself anyway, so fine.
Ooh.
I said it. Yeah. I said it. Don't yeah,
that's usually something I say.
You were all thinking it.
But quite frankly, and I'm all about comfort, and I've been in radio all my life, and we dress like slobs, which I love this aspect of our job. I think you should dress up a little bit more when you're a senator.
I
do.
I even think that too.
I do.
Honestly, I mean, I think you can have a crisp jeans, nice shoes. Like, you can have a casual, like you see all these guys running around with their button-down shirts and those vests. Let them wear those. And women, I don't know. I'm not going to tell a woman what she can't wear.
But I've also been told that, like, suits are, like, if suits fit you, they're very comfortable. Like, for men's suits that actually are, like, tailored to you.
But big guys, it's a whole other world.
Even if you have a tailor?
We don't, yeah, but it's hard to tailor to a big guy. It really is.
And he is a big guy.
He is.
He's a big guy.
But I don't want to
for that.
I don't want to see him in a hoodie and shorts. I don't.
I know. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, CJ Safer will be here to talk about Wisconsin politics from the other side of the aisle. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT.